Meanwhile, on a lighter note, it's time to join our popular Latin lover as he comes round to speaking of the Latin of the encyclical Rerum Novarum, but not before darting around picking up on my questions regarding St. Bonaventure, the tricks of the German Brennus over a Roman general, and of course, much more. So far, Foster, last week you were speaking to me about St. Bonaventure. Bonaventure is somebody that I've never really heard of in my life. And last week I was reading Pope Benedict XVI's little biography, and he was speaking about how he wrote that paper about St. Bonaventure and he had trouble with it, etc.
Oh, he's very mystical and very spiritual and very, oh my. He had the famous soliloquies. Yes, almost like the Confessions of Augustine. He talks to the Lord and the ascent of the soul to God and everything else. Ooh, that's Bonaventure. It's more spiritual, let's say, than St. Thomas. St. Thomas was a little colder teacher, you know, of theology, but Bonaventure is a mystical.
Can you give me some examples of his Latin?
Well, offhand, I don't read. It's kind of hard, but
you
it
were
just,
saying that he was. That
it just
was...
it reads right along. Like for example, tria sunt quae in hoc precepto inveniuntur. There are three things which are found in this precept, and he just goes on and just. I think a child could understand it. But he's not trying to teach heavy stuff.
So Bonaventure is similar to St. Thomas Aquinas.
Well, yeah, they were friends and everything else. They both died the same year, 1274.
And they both lived in the same place.
Well, they were both going to the Council of Lyons, you know, to be, and he was a cardinal, and they were going to be made cardinals. St. Thomas died down near Monte Cassino.
And Bonaventure,
Fossanova, exactly. And Bonaventure got to Lyons.
What do you mean, Lyons?
Lyon.
Lyon.
Okay.
In France.
Lugdunum. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what language we're doing. But anyway, Lugdunum, and he got there, and he died in the midst of the council, in a massive funeral of the Council of Lyons.
Okay, how do you say that?
Yeah, ingens concelebratum est eius in cultum et honorem funus. Lugduni in Lyons or Lyon.
Lyon. Lugduni is the Roman word. The Romans had all kinds of fortresses. It was
all the way up to Scotland, of course.
What was it called? Gallia.
What
was France called in those days?
Gallia. Oh yeah, everyone knows that.
And what was the river that goes through Lyon? Lugdunum. The Rhone, no.
Oh, yeah, Rhodanum was the Rhone River. And the Rhine River was the Rhenum.
And the Romans had all their boats on these rivers, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they used that stuff. Of course, they had to be kind of careful because on the other side of the Rhine were the Germans. And the Romans never got into Germany. And every time they got into Germany, they got their, boom, something kicked in. Wow. They never took over Germany. Never.
But because of Contiliovarus.
Yeah, that was the worst.
When he had three legions destroyed, no?
Yeah.
You told me that.
Augustus. And it was bad because the man who did this...
Quintilius.
He was in charge of the Romans. He was very arrogant and stupid, and people didn't like him. Even his soldiers didn't like him. And then we had this German prince who was actually in the Roman army. And then he left and joined his people and started this whole conspiracy against the Romans. And he just took the Romans by surprise, and he massacred them. But it was a trick on his part. Brennus was his name, you'd say, like Brenno or Bruno. Was the German, and he got them. Let's make a thing, and let's all march together through the woods. And the Romans.
Black Forest.
Yeah. And so he said, let's march through the forest, and the Romans followed this Gaul, who was a Roman soldier once. And they followed him into the forest, but they didn't realize they were going right into a trap.
How'd you say falling right into a trap?
Yeah, in medias, insidias, inciderunt. They fell, or incidebant, they were falling. And they were blocked on the both ends, and the Gauls came down from all sides, and that was the end of that.
Mm. There's a statue in the middle of the forest now.
Is that right? I have never seen this. I'd like to see all that stuff. Yeah.
But apparently, I was reading in the newspaper the other day that Hitler wanted all the papers, you know, describing this story.
Oh, I can imagine. Because when they were able to beat the Romans so savagely...
He wanted to make a huge monument of this.
Exactly. Ooh. And that's why Augustus, they said he was running around the Palatine Hill tearing his hair out and screaming, Vare re de mici aquilas meas, give me back my eagles, my legionary eagles, because the Germans took the flags and everything, which was unheard of in Roman history. You did not steal Roman flags. But there was such a...
How'd you say that in Latin?
A non licebat vexilla Romanorum furari.
Furari are the flags.
Furari is to steal. Vexilla are flags.
Vexilla.
V-A-V-E-X-I-L-L-A.
Furare is to steal.
Furari, yes.
Furari.
So it is not, was not allowed to steal Roman flags. Well, he did. Woo! And that's why Augustus was screaming, give me back my eagles. My legionary flags, and he almost went crazy when he heard that. It's almost like Stalingrad for Hitler. I mean, not Salzburgensis. It's a bur. I can hear the forest. I know where it is. I know. Anyway.
No, but I was curious to know that, you know, because I knew the story about Quintilio Varus and
well, you have a place, weren't you, out in Tivoli?
Yes.
Well, there you are, Vicovaro. Vicovaro is the town of Varus.
Not only that, but in front of the waterfalls in Tivoli, there was the Villa di Quintilio Varo, his summer residence.
You've never
been there?
No. By the lake or no?
No. By there's a Franciscan church, and right next door to that.
No. I don't remember that. But the name of the town
fact, the
of
street,
Varus
the
is...
The street there is called Via Quintiliolo.
Oh, Quintilio Varo. Hey, we're living with all that stuff.
That's why I was so curious about Quintilio Varus. That's why I asked you about it.
Yeah. Ooh, interesting stories. And of course, it was his own fault. They say Quintilio Varo was so arrogant and boom, 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 prancing around like a peacock.
How'd you say prancing around like a peacock?
Gloria batur, pavonis instar.
Why do you think Hitler was so interested in this whole story?
Well, I think it was the idea that you had a native, you see, a native in the sense of Gaul or German. Well, Germany was German really on that side. That you had this guy and the Germans beat the pants off the Romans bad. Which is what Hitler wanted to do with everybody.
So how you say that in Latin?
Well,
you brought it upon yourself.
Concidere bracas inimicorum.
Bracas of pants.
Yeah, cut up the pants of your enemies. Oh, you can say everything marvelously. Mm. Except this kind of jargon, this philosophical jargon that's going around. Like how the politicians here in Italy talk. You know, that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Oh, that's terrible. I mean, realizzazione del programma di questo piano di lavoro mutuo. Ah, shut up. That's what they're doing.
Playing around with language.
Ludere lingua. Yeah, to play with the language. But if it were written in Latin, we always say it, which was the case until Pius the XII, or until Paul the VI, let's say, or John. Well, John must have. The encyclicals were written originally in Latin. Well, if that were the case, which it isn't, you see, you couldn't do this because Latin doesn't allow you, you know, just to blah, blah, blah. You just can't blah in Latin, which is what they're doing, you see. So they write it in French, Italian, you see. And this just kind of dribbles on and on. And I'm supposed to put this dribble.
How do you say dribble?
Distillationem et fabulationem. Distillatio.
You're referring to the Latin language used.
If it were written in Latin, it would be 10 times shorter. You have to get to the point with a Latin sentence, which they don't want to do, you see. That's why you think of Rerum Novarum, you know? The famous of Leo XIII, huh?
There was a social encyclical.
Yes.
What does it mean, rerum novarum?
It means of new things, which means a revolution in Latin. Mm. And the third word is studiosi, and he took those three words from Cicero.
Really?
Certainly, it's a quote from Cicero. Those interested in revolution. Rerum novarum studiosi. Well, anyway, the fact is he worked about a year and a half. This is the Latinist with Leo XIII. They worked together for about a year and a half and produced 40 pages.
And it was beautiful Latin.
Oh, it'll kill you. Mm. I mean, real solid and no fooling around, you see. Mm. 40 pages in a year and a half, you know. Mm. Now we're supposed to produce 40 pages over the weekend. Well, there's a difference, you see.
How do you say producing 40 pages over the weekend?
Fabricare oportet nos ad hebdomade finem quadraginta pagina.
Do you like translating into Latin?
I do. Because it's a challenge, you know. They say this crummy thing in Italian. It's crummy German, too, by the way. And I said, I can say this infinitely better in Latin. And people would agree. Foster, at least your sentences are clear and concise and solid as a rock. Whereas these other people are dribbling around and blah, 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 blah. You don't know what they're talking about.
How'd you say crummy Latin?
Pessima Latinitas. No, deterima. Deterima Latinitas. The worst, the lowest. If they were writing decent Latin, things would be different, but they refuse.